Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get upgrades for your PowerBook, your new MacBook, your MacBook Pro, your G5, Super Drives, dual layer stuff, memory, you name it, they got it. Check them out at mcetech.com. DVD-XDV, the software to have to getting MPEG 2 content off a DVD. So if you have a DVD and you want to pull stuff off, bring it into Final Cut, you name it, whatever, iMovie, any application that uses QuickTime, you can do it at dvdxdv.com. And our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine and American Photo. Cool stuff there. You can go to popphoto.com or americanphoto.com to find out more information there. Creative Pro, the place to get all the tips and tricks and stuff you need if you're a creative professional. So if you want to learn about InDesign, Photoshop, they have great forums, tons of articles, cool stuff. You can go to creativepro.com. Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program. If you have anything that needs to be printed, these guys are full offset ink on paper printers. Great stuff, business cards, you name it. You can give them any file. They will make it work. Cool stuff at printingforless.com. Mac Update, the place to get software updates for your Macintosh. You want to get in quick, get out. You don't want a bunch of ads. You don't want to go through four layers of pages to get that software update. Cool stuff, macupdate.com. And our digital production buzz meister, Philip Hodgetts, the Digital Production Buzz Show, Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. All cool things about post-production. Production, you want to learn how to do video, you name it, those guys talk about it. Very cool stuff. And we have a pretty nice show lineup for everybody today. We are going to be talking with Sandy Cohen. Sandy just did a great new article over at Creative Pro, and we're going to talk about Quark 7. Brand new release. Tons of cool stuff with Quark 7. They've really stepped the program up. You know, we haven't heard a lot from Quark here lately, and they're sort of been in the background. And, you know, they did a preview of Quark 7 at Macworld. So we're going to be talking to Sandy about Quark 7. Great stuff there. We're going to have Andy Shallon on talking about his Mac Design Out of the Box Tip of the Week. Andy wrote a great book called Mac Design Out of the Box. Everything you need to know about doing graphic design work and cool stuff on your Mac with what ships with a Macintosh. So you can check that out. Andy Shallot. We're going to have Rick Littrell on from Magicom talking about, of course, Quark 7. Again, this is a big release, a big thing. Rick is the host of the Inside Print Radio program. So we're going to get Rick's view on how Quark 7 relates to the printing industry itself. Maybe not so much for people that are doing other design work, but actually for like hardcore printers. You know, Quark's used very extensively in very large organizations, R.R. Donnelly, people that do magazines, newspapers. A lot of newspapers are done with really big Quark setups. So we're going to talk to Rick about that. We're going to have Andrew Darlow on, and he's going to have a report from us from the Apple Store opening in New York City, the brand new cube, the glass Apple house. I don't know if any of you guys got to saw that, but it's very cute. Very cool. It's GM Plaza there in New York City, and all there is a glass box sticking out of the ground with a spiral glass staircase that goes underground. It's a huge store. What's cool about it, too, it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So pretty cool stuff there. Then in the second hour, we're going to have Philip Hodgetts on doing the digital production buzz. We're going to talk about all the things going on there with the production, post-production, distribution of online content and offline, everything. You name it, we're going to talk about it. Then we're going to have Sam Levin on doing his Cool Mac Picks. Talk about what's going on for the week. We got some cool stuff with Sammy. Then we're going to have John Rockwell on. We're going to talk about Remix Hotels coming up here in New York City very shortly. So we're going to talk to John about what's Remix Hotel, what they have planned. It's going to be a pretty cool event there. And then we have a bunch of cool things going there. So you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. And next up here, we're going to have Sandy Cohen on. We're talking about Quark 7. So we have a bunch of cool stuff today. We have publishing print stuff. We have the brand new Apple Store opening in New York City. We got Philip Hodgetts doing post-production news. Sam Levin, it's Cool Mac Picks. The Remix Hotel, the place to hear everything about your Macintosh. You can find out more information at InsideMacRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This
is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now
at 800-490-0058.
Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4 and the very cool hardware device called Protégé. Little firewire deal. You stick it in the side of your Mac and boot off it. You can fix anything. Cool stuff. Check them out, micromat.com. Right now we have on the line Sandy Cohen. Sandy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
So you were at the Quark event last week in beautiful New York City there. Tell us about the brand new Quark 7. I think you just did an article, too, for Creative Pro.
Well, you know, it wasn't exactly a review. It was really my impressions of the event, and I was very impressed. I got there, a lot of people there. Not every chair was taken, but it was a lot of people, and Quark Incorporated really did a good job of feeding and massaging and answering questions and really treating their customers as valued people. And that was impressive. Plus, I was extremely impressed with some of the features. Yes, we all know about transparency, but the job jackets absolutely blew me away.
So tell us about this whole job jacket deal. What is this in Quark 7?
Well, they're fleece-lined leather jackets that... okay, stop with the jokes. What a job jacket does is take a lot of the stuff that's currently in a pre-flight or flight check program, but add to it things like you want to make sure you're using the right font, or you want to make sure that you haven't used the wrong logos for the company. It's much more for branding as well as pre-flight. And I've sat around conference tables where people have written up their best practices and then had to just create this laundry list that all the designers had to follow. With job jackets, the designer would simply choose evaluate document, and if things pass or fail, they then know. But even if things fail, there are descriptions that explain what to do. I was very impressed with it. It allows pre-flighting to move upstream.
Wow, very interesting. Now, let's talk about the transparencies now that are placed in PDFs with Quark Express 7.
Okay. Transparencies, I just discovered this, and one of my friends at Adobe alerted me to this last night. If I take Illustrator or Photoshop or InDesign, which all have transparency, I can create a PDF 1.4, which is Acrobat 5, document, and that keeps live transparency. Unfortunately, those PDFs do not go into Quark correctly. They become flattened in a way that the originator wouldn't have accepted. So that part is a little disappointing. However, Quark's own transparency is quite impressive, and they've managed to do that a little bit better than InDesign because they have this color level transparency, meaning anything that can be assigned a color can have its own opacity setting. Having said that, though, all transparency coming out of Quark as a PDF must be flattened. And there are two sides to that argument. Quark will say to you that's the right place to do the flattening, and Adobe will say no. Flattening needs to be done at the time of output. And I am that latter choice myself.
Definitely. Now, tell us about, you have a book out called Real World Adobe Creative Suite 2. How does the integration between Quark 7 integrate with the Adobe Suite, or does it at all?
Well, Quark 7 will integrate with parts of the Creative Suite better than others. For instance, they have an extra part of Quark that will allow it to import native Photoshop files. And there's actually a little layers palette where you can turn layers on and off. In addition, there's actually a channels and paths palette where you can check out the channels and the paths. This is brilliant. On the other side, though, it does not accept Illustrator, native Illustrator files, and those have to be saved as a PDF, which, as I explained, causes this bizarre flattening. So in that case, there are problems. Now, the integration, though, with the rest of the Creative Suite, like Bridge, not there at all. The big question, though, is a lot of people are going to be saying, well, can I get my Quark files into InDesign and InDesign into Quark? And I would say go look at Marksware because they have quite a few utilities for doing that. But my book, which I am only a co-author, I wrote with Steve Warner, is a book more about for the people who have this humongous Creative Suite and they're saying, well, what the heck do I do with it? And we show you how all the apps work together.
Very interesting. Cool stuff. Now, Sandy, tell our listeners about yourself and other things that you do.
Well, I hope people know me as I'm Vector Babe, and my domain is vectorbabe.com. When people ask me what I do, I say I teach computer graphics. But teaching could be I write articles, I write books, I am a hired gun. You give me enough money, I'll go anywhere and talk. I post on the bulletin boards. I have a few clients here in New York that I teach regularly. So, and also I was at the InDesign and Creative Suite conference last week, and I like to think of myself as a big mouth.
We got about a minute and a half left here. Tell us about the InDesign and the Creative Suite conference. How was that?
It was wonderful. For me, I had a full day InDesign class, and we broke all the records that were. We had over 250 people in the class. We've had maybe 100, 150, but this it's exploded. And David Blattner, who was the conference chair, assembled an incredible group of speakers, including Robin Williams, who we haven't seen in a long time. So it was wonderful to have her at the conference.
That's very cool. She has been laying a little low, huh? I mean, she's been turning out books, but she hasn't made a lot of public appearances here lately.
Well, Robin likes to write about Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we've had people like Burt Monroy, Robin, Claudia McHugh. It was just a powerhouse of names. And I think the Barry Kahn conferences are going to really take off and be an important part of our industry.
Now, Sandy, where can they find more information about your book, what you're up to? I'll give us your website and how people can get a hold of you.
Well, you can go to vectorbabe.com, but of course, like everybody else, my website is horribly out of date. Best thing, go to Peach Pit, go to their authors, and you'll get a nice look at the books that I've written and what I'm working on.
Hey, Sandy, thank you very much for joining today. We'd love to have you back talking about more cool stuff. That was Sandy Cohen. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you have content that you put on a DVD and you can't find the original stuff anymore, or someone gave you a DVD that you need to pull some stuff off to redo, anything, you check them out at DVDXDV.com. They just released a brand new version of DVD XDV Pro, so check it out, www.DVDXDV.com. Right now we're here, we're joined by our resident graphics guru guy, Andy Shallett. He is the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box book, and he's got a cool tip for us today about Flash video and audio. How you doing, Andrew?
Great, Scott. I was going through some websites that I've designed recently, and one of my clients actually recently called me, wanted me to help them put up a QuickTime video. And I was thinking, you know, QuickTime is fine, but there's a lot of things. It's very heavy. It's very big. And I thought, you know, the best way to do it, to put video now on, other than using that YouTube thing, which I don't understand completely, is to use a Flash video. And Flash, when Flash 8 came out, they came out with a video encoder, which actually takes QuickTime files and it brings it into the Flash format, the Flash video format. The difference I find, first off, just in the look of things on the video, is that they're really wet. They really look wet and clean and nice, and they seem to stream better than QuickTime. Not to diss QuickTime. You know, QuickTime's great, but the Flash video is very easy to do. If you're using Macromedia, if you're using Dreamweaver and Flash together, then you encode your video into Flash, and you put it up online in that. There's certain things that are great about it, one of which is that it can't be taken off the web, so you can protect your stuff, which is pretty good.
Yeah, notice that when you see all this Flash stuff, you can't save it, you can't drag it to the desktop. I mean, you can go in the code and sort of download it and hack it, but
yeah,
it's great. It is cool. Keeps your content sort of like a little DRM deal going there, but it's really, there's no digital rights management, it's just that the way that it's all done and coded, you just can't steal it.
That's right. Flash has always been that way. It's always been a great way for people. I've had clients that that have certain proprietary things they don't want people to take off the web. And so I would say, well, let's just put it up in Flash. And that's when they came up with Flash paper and all that stuff, too. But just for video, it's a great little way to put these things up. And it, I'm telling you, it looks better. And also, I believe that the files are actually better compressed and they're lighter. So they don't take up as much space and they don't take, and there's no real glitches on its streaming. And it's a built-in stream, or you've got certain choices when you're doing the Flash. But it really it's a great way to put things up on the web. And along those lines, you and I were talking about this one time, I also have used Flash alone for putting music on my sites. Not that I like to put music on the sites, but some clients like that, where they have, you know, a little bit of Mozart or something in the background. And it's always been kind of kludgy to do that with QuickTime or with the AIFF files and things like that, where they're very heavy. But if you import something into a Flash file and make an SWF out of it, you don't have to have any visuals on it. Just have a frame that contains your sound file. It's already compressed. It'll stream the way Flash does. And you can put it up there, and it will invisibly show up on that website. You just embed it at the bottom of the page, and it's a great little trick for having music come up fast. And, you know, you can have a button if you want to turn it on or turn it off. In fact, if people want to see an example of it, I think if they go to my site and they go to the web section in my site, there's something called Attention to Detail. And they have a little bit of Mozart on their site that I put up there that is in Flash. So you can't even steal it, but you can listen to it.
That's cool. Now, we got about 40 seconds left. What kind of tool do you need to actually do this encoding, and you have to buy a big
Flash.
Full? So you just buy the Flash deal, so it's sort of spendy, I guess, to get into it.
If you have, it's a little spendy. Well, you know what, anybody who's doing web stuff, if you're not doing iWeb, because I haven't experimented with iWeb dropping Flash into it yet, but if you're going to do something like that, you need the Studio MX, and that's going to be Dreamweaver, Fireworks, and Flash. And they work beautifully together. But Dreamweaver, I think, is pretty much state-of-the-art.
Yeah. Yep, cool stuff. Hey, Andy, thank you so much. That was Andrew Shallett. Andy, your website real quick?
Shallett.com. Cool. S-H-A-L-A-T.
You got to love it, baby. Andy Shallett. We'll be right back.
Consultants Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approved, wrote, and produced this message.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. You want to put 2 gig of RAM in your brand new MacBook, your MacBook Pro, a bigger hard drive that you can swap in the MacBook really quick, easy, fast, very cool stuff. Check them out, mcetech.com. They're also an Apple-authorized reseller, so you can pick up that MacBook or MacBook Pro. Quick, easy, and already stuffed full of upgrades when it leaves the door under full warranty. Check them out, mcetech.com. Right now we have Rick Littrell, the host of the Inside Print Radio program and the CEO of Magicom. We're going to talk to Rick here real quick about the Quark deal. How you doing, Rick?
Hey, Scott, how's it going? Good to talk to you.
You too, buddy. Now tell us, what does this Quark 7 deal mean to printers? You deal really heavy-duty, hardcore print stuff. You've been in the printing industry forever. Tell us what Quark 7 means to a printer, a big printer.
Well, I tell you what, it's definitely Quark's come out and gotten a lot more aggressive. And with this release now going into multi-channel, more functionality, and really trying to make the move, because there's been a lot of pressure put on them by Adobe. And this is probably the giant has awakened now, and they're making a big push. Interesting that they're talking more and more multi-channel workflows, which printers, you know, we've had this discussion, are they going to become communications companies or printers? And email and internet activity is part of their world. So now designers are going to be able to send them files out of a single layout program, which is one of the majors.
That is big stuff. Now, Quark 7, I guess, is still, or Quark itself is still pretty heavily embedded in, like, really large newspaper organizations and magazine stuff.
Oh, they're, yeah. I mean, they're deep, large installed base. They had a huge lead as far as market share up until, I think, around the time when Adobe InDesign 2.0 came out. And then Adobe really started making a move. That was a great riff.
What do you think about some of these new features in the Quark deal with the transparencies with the PDFs? How is, you think Adobe's going to come back now and add all these other features in their stuff?
They got most of it. I mean, a lot of those are catch-up because Adobe was able to put it in InDesign. I mean, Adobe, you know, for all intents and purposes, they wrote PDF as a standard, and it was promoted by Adobe. And you've got an interesting dynamic, a standard that is a, you know, company-owned product, but they've kind of released it, and it's openly available, all the code and stuff. So they're going to make the move first, typically, and they've got everything set up. So I think it's Quark was doing catch-up on those kind of features.
Now, what has Quark done with Quark 7 with the new stuff with, you know, like JDF workflow for the professional printer and things like that?
Absolutely. I mean, they showed that they embraced it, which they have publicly been saying for a while, that they embraced the whole JDF workflow for full automation and beginning now let creatives send a job ticket with their job so they can input, you know, I need 24,000 books that are 12 pages, 4 over 4, trim size 8.5 by 11, on 80-pound text with 80-pound cover. And so they can start inputting stuff like that, and it starts getting passed through the process, and nobody has to rekey it, and it just keeps getting refined as it gets closer to the press and gets on press. So, I mean, that's going to be a huge help in communications and, you know, allows that full automated workflow to begin at the designer's desk, which a lot of people are nervous about.
Yeah. Rick, tell us, we got about 30 seconds. Tell us about the Inside Print Show. When's it on? Where can they get it? And more information about you.
InsidePrintRadio.com. We're a weekly one-hour broadcast. We go to trade shows in the printing industry, and we talk about all things print. It's a good thing. Myself, Magicom.biz, direct marketing company. Come see us. We'll help you grow your business, man.
Rick, thank you so much for that great report. That was Rick Littrell. Like you said, you can check it out at magicom.biz. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Popular Photography and American Photo Magazine. You can check them out at popphoto.com and americanphoto.com, the number one resource for digital imaging in the world. Right now we have Andrew Darlow on the line. Andrew is from New York City, and he was at the Apple Store opening. How are we doing, Andrew?
Great. How's everything going there, Scott?
Good. How things been with you?
Excellent, excellent. I cannot complain.
Very nice. Now, you were at the Apple Store opening in Manhattan. Tell us about it.
This is an unbelievable event. It was star-studded. I didn't see all of the celebrities, but people like Kanye West and a gentleman from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I saw him coming out with a big, like, 24-inch screen and a new MacBook. And just to give you an overview, it was sort of like a movie opening, and when I got there at 6 p.m., it was just wall-to-wall people. So I just started, and I just decided to take some pictures, and then I sort of got into the whole thing. So I decided, hey, I'm just going to wait online and get into the store just like anyone else would. So I did that, and after just over 3 hours, I was greeted by about 15 Apple employees, just like everyone else, screaming and just welcoming everyone, and it was sort of like being a celebrity. So that was just the time up to getting in. And then I can talk a little bit about what it was like when you descend into the store. There's a spiral staircase. It looks almost like glass. And again, it was like wall-to-wall people, but no one was really, you know, bothering anyone. It seemed like just like an art opening. Beautiful natural wood tables, just Apple products everywhere, iPod stuff. There's an entire wall just of sort of third-party iPod accessories. And then across on the other side, there's another entire wall just of Apple-branded iPod accessories. So that was just the iPod accessories. Then there's software. There's a beautiful Genius Bar. They have a nice studio section where pros can just go in and talk to someone about their problems that they're having. Killer amounts of software, books, and just a really nice environment.
Now, tell us about the look. This thing is a glass cube in the middle of GM Plaza. Tell us about the outside, how this thing looks. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really what prompted me to make the trip. I got an email the day before, and I saw that, and I was like, wow, this is just an absolutely beautiful, like a work of art, I'd say. Similar to what you'd see in, like, the Louvre. It's had that sort of energy. So from the outside, it's really striking. And as the sun went down, I had just got sort of past FAO Schwartz, and I was getting closer to getting in. And I noticed there was a place for me to rest my camera, and the sun had gone down. It was pretty dark. And the glass, you know, enclosure plus the GM building together was just beautiful. And there was a fountain sort of popping out. So I was lucky to capture an image while online waiting to get in, and I intend to make that available.
Wow, cool stuff. What else did you learn? Did you get a chance to talk to any of the attendees and what the thoughts were of people with the new store in New York? And, you know, it's open 24 hours now, too.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, you never know when you need, you know, a cable or something at 3 a.m. But, you know, it's just so New York. It's like the subway, you know, it never stops. So I spoke to some folks. Everyone was really, really impressed. Everyone I spoke with just was really just amazed at the overall feel of it. And, you know, it is just a store, but it's more than that because you feel almost like a part of a community when you go in, especially when you go towards the back and you sit and you talk to someone. I just put down my 17-inch G4 PowerBook, and the guy just pulled out a power cord for me. So I just plugged in, and I was sitting there talking to people, so it was really, really nice.
Wow, that's cool stuff. Now, tell us, you have a brand new website called Imogene Buffet. Tell us about what Andrew's up to.
Oh, sure. It's an online magazine, essentially, but also a podcast. So I'll be having a lot of news, a lot of reviews, interviews. I recently interviewed author Harold Johnson and Ruth Null, who's the organizer of an event called the Photoshop Soup to Nuts Conference, and that's happening in June. She's also the wife of Thomas Null, who people might know is a co-founder of Photoshop. And people can find out more on imogenebuffet.com.
Yeah, that's cool stuff there. Very cool. What else is going on in the land of photography? Because I know that's your specialty. You've been in the industry for years. What's going on? What do you see new? What's happening?
Well, it's very interesting. All the big players have now created imaging sensors or just new cameras that can do just about anything you need to do, you know, short of making very large, maybe wall-size prints. But even then, you can get there. You know, Nikon, Canon, and so many of the others have stepped up and made affordable cameras like the D200 and the Canon 30D. So it's better than ever for photographers who want to get in and use the technology. And then companies like Adobe are keeping up with products like Lightroom, and you know they're constantly updating Camera Raw. So everything that comes out of the software tends to look better and better as time goes on.
There is so much stuff going on here. All these new cameras, you got the D200, the 30D. You know, it's hard now to even figure out what you want to buy. You know, what's a good way to start if someone wants to get into a digital SLR? What's your thoughts on, you know, a good way to start, a good pick for someone that wants to get into the whole, digital SLR market?
That's a difficult question. What I can say is if you already own some lenses from a specific manufacturer and you like them, then maybe rent a body, say, for example, a D200 or a Nikon, a D2X if you have a Nikon glass, or, you know, try the Canon side. So there's plenty of options for anyone. It's just a matter of, in my opinion, either make the purchase and then return it if you have to, or rent it for a weekend. There are a lot of great companies like Calumet and Photocare in New York City, and Sammy's out in L.A. A lot of times you can just pick one up on a Friday and use it all weekend, and then if you love it, sometimes you can even apply the cost of your rental to a new purchase.
Yeah, I think something, too, you need to people when they go to look for these things, they need to, a lot of these photography shops, you sort of need to haggle with them almost on pricing because nothing's set in stone, and I know dealing with Sammy's this week earlier when I was in Hollywood, you get conflicting prices from different people in the store, so it's almost like, you know, an open-air market where you can haggle with these guys. It's amazing.
Really? Wow. I don't know. I
felt like I was in Brooklyn.
Really? I haven't found that so much with most of the companies I've dealt with, so I don't know if it was because there were slight differences, but you never know. You just have to find out what the real deal is some way, you know, and the internet helps. But, I mean, my main place, I would say, is B&H. They do a really nice job with supporting their product line, and you can find out a lot of great information on their website.
That's my pick, brother, B&H, because, I wasn't too happy with Sammy.
Well, it's up to you. Maybe you spoke with the wrong person. Oh, you know, I forgot to mention Mac Live. That was a fantastic event. I was just amazed at what was going on there.
Yeah, how was that? I heard the turnout was really, really low for some reason.
No, actually, I didn't think that at all. I mean, it was the first year, so I believe that for first-year events, you're not going to have, like, the amount of people at a Photoshop World. But I didn't think, and plus, those rooms were huge. They sit, like, up to 800 to 1,000 people, some of those rooms. So in my opinion, I thought that it was actually very well attended for a first-year event, and the people who were there, I think, got a really good education. I saw Ben Wilmore, and he just amazed me. I'm not sure he's human. He's so good with Photoshop. And I sat in on some InDesign and Go Live and After Effects classes. So that was fantastic. And then there was a really cool event one evening called Mac After Dark. I was at somewhere in Midtown. It was from 10 o'clock till midnight. And they did a game show similar to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. and Scott Kelby, Duke McClelland, and Terry White were the hosts. And even David Pogue called in as a phone-a-friend.
Oh, how cool.
He helped the lady win a 30-gigabyte fifth-generation iPod.
Oh, that rocks. Andrew, how do we get more information on you and your website?
Best place is to go to imagingbuffet.com.
Cool. There you go. Andrew Darler with a report from the New York Apple Store, the brand new cube out of the ground. Cool stuff there. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. Do you want to get all the cool tips about creative technologies, great software, learn how to improve your production? Just learn tips, tricks, and find out what's going on. You can check them out at creativepro.com. So I want to go into a little bit of news here this week. We have this is very interesting, Andy Hertzfeld, that was part of the original Macintosh development team, has a book out called Revolution in the Valley. So what they've done here is they've recorded the audiobook. They've turned it into an audiobook. So he has the stuff online. They produce it. There's new stories that are going to come out every week on Macintosh Folklore Radio. It's pretty cool stuff. You can actually get this at, I will give you the URL here so you can find this. Actually, it's a terrible URL. Go to MacMinute.com, and you can get that from Stan Flack's site at MacMinute.com. Folklore Radio, pretty cool. It's Andy Hertzfeld's book, and it's got some very interesting stories on the whole development of the Macintosh. And, it's pretty cool stuff. Here's another one here. Pearson Education is acquiring PowerSchool. Now, if anybody knows what PowerSchool is, it's actually a software that runs, it's a web-based solution to provide K-12 administrators, teachers, students, parents, secure up-to-the-minute information on student performance, including grades, homework, and assessments. So it's Big Brother for your kids. And Pearson Education is going to acquire this from Apple. So it's pretty interesting. You can find out more information on that at apple.com/PR. There's a press release all about that stuff. So if you want to find out how Pearson is going to integrate this in with the PowerSchool deal, and they're actually going to use the iPod to expand some of the learning stuff. So it's a pretty cool gig there. Pearson's huge in the publishing industry. They own Peach Pit and a bunch of other imprints. You can check that out. Pretty cool things there. Griffin Technology introduced some new software this week called Proxy. It's a powerful and easy shortcut software for Mac OS X. You can use Proxy to control other software or even hardware, including all Griffin devices. So you can configure this thing to do custom hotkey sequences, monitor email, iChat, RSS feeds. It's pretty interesting stuff, actually. It's really easy to use. You can check that out at griffintechnologies.com. So it's called Proxy, P-R-O-X-I. So it's griffintechnology.com, and I just click on the proxy deal. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool software, different than QuickKeys. It's interesting. I think you'll dig it. Also, if you are using Contour Designs Shuttle Pro or Shuttle Pro Express, you know, they have a jog wheel with assignable buttons. They now have drivers now for Intel-based Macs. So if you're using Final Cut Pro 5.1 or 5.11, that's a universal binary application, or the whole Final Cut Studio, or anything else you can use it for, you can use this thing in email. You can use it to scroll the windows in Entourage, on your web browser, whatever you want. It's pretty cool. Check that out. Contour Design will give you the website address here, but new drivers for Shuttle Pro and Shuttle Pro Express. So it's contourdesign.com, and this is their newest version. And it works with all of the Intel-based Macs, version 2.1. Very cool goodies there. The Contour Shuttle, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's got a jog wheel and then an accelerated ring on the outside that you can assign. And then it's got a bunch of buttons, and the Pro has more buttons, of course, than the Express. The Express is real small. You can stick it in a backpack, but it works pretty cool. Apple has updated Logic to Logic 7.2.1. They say Logic Express 2.7.1 is a maintenance release. It has driver compatibility, key changes, and Intel Intel Max Rewire and Recycle Support Standard MIDI. So this is for Logic Express updated 7.2.1. You can check that out at apple.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up here in the second hour, we're going to have Philip Hodges doing the digital production Buzz Nude. We're going to have little Sammy Levin coming on doing his cool Mac picks. Great stuff there. We're going to have John Rockwell from Remix Hotel talking about all the great things going on there. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. The Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, DVD XDV, MCE Technologies, and our media partners, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out more information on the Inside Mac Radio program over at InsideMacRadio.com, or just hop on over to iTunes and grab it there. Cool stuff. We had some very cool guests so far this hour, and we got a bunch of more stuff lined up for you. We had in the first hour, of course, Sandy Cohen talking about Quark 7, her impressions of the Quark 7 event, things going on with Quark, and they've definitely stepped the program up. We had Andy Shallot on talking about Mac videos, how you can put flash videos and why you'd want to use flash videos and audio on your website. Cool things there. We had Rick Littrell on from Magicom talking, of course, about Quark 7. It's a big thing here this past week that happened in New York City. Rick was talking about Quark 7 and how this relates to big printers, big, huge printers, guys that do newspapers, magazines, R.R. Donnelly, stuff like that. We had Andrew Darlow on from Imaging Buffet talking about the New York Apple Store opening, the brand new one there on Fifth Avenue at the GM Plaza. Very cool. There's a big glass cube, and you get to go down a brand new circular glass staircase, different from the other stores that are vertical ones. This one actually is a circular glass staircase. So pretty cool, all underground. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So at 3 in the morning, you're working on a project, and you need a cable or a new Mac, whatever you want. Check it out. Apple.com. Little tab there on the right, it says where to get. And you can just look at the Apple Store. There's some pictures up on the Apple website. And Andrew also has some cool images up on his website at imagingbuffet.com. Later up this hour, we're going to have Philip Hodgetts, the digital production buzzmeister, talking about all the cool things going on with digital production, post-production. One thing we want to talk about, and I don't know if anybody's played with this, but the Apple Intermediate Codec, what it's for, what do you need to use it with, why is it there? If we have some time, we're going to talk about Stone Design's new software. They got some cool new stuff out. Digital Heaven's got some new big time and free plugins. Cool things there. Also talking about some workflow for new formats. New formats for workflow. So that'll be pretty cool there. Then later in the hour, we're going to talk with John Rockwell. John is from Remix Magazine, from Mix Magazine, electronic musician. They have a brand new event coming up here. It's not brand new, but it's a new event this year where it's at New York City, Remix Hotel. So that's pretty cool stuff there if you're into electronic music and remixing and doing all kinds of great stuff there. We're going to talk to Johnny about the event coming up. They got some pretty cool things happening. So let's hit on a couple more news stories here this week. If anybody's ever tried to put a RAID together, SoftRAID is a company that makes RAID software, but it's software. So instead of doing RAID, it's a striped array of disks. So if you have a bunch of hard drives that you want to put together to make a real big, large volume, either mirrored or a backup for, you know, reliability purposes, SoftRAID shipped a version 3.5, so you can check that out at their website at SoftRAID.com. Apple released Xcode 2.3. So if you're a coder, Apple has a new version of Xcode. This is version 2.3. It's got all kinds of new stuff into it. Optimized for universal applications for universal binaries. So if you're coding for the Mac, you want to make sure you get Apple's brand new version of Xcode. This is 2.3. And you can actually grab that at developer.apple.com. And just click on the tools. You'll see a nice little thing there for Xcode. That's brand new. Brand new stuff there for this week. Another big thing this week, Apple and Nike announced a partnership, bringing the world of sports and music together with the launch of an innovative Nike Plus iPod products. So somehow they have a deal that lets Nike footwear talk to an iPod Nano. Pretty interesting stuff. You can check that out at Apple's website, apple.com/PR. There's a new PR about that thing, but there's a way to integrate Nike footwear with the Nano. Pretty neat stuff there. Cool technologies. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printer of the Inside Mac show. You can check them out for more information. You need anything printed, check them out, printingforless.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. How are we doing, Philip?
I am great, Scott. How are you?
Very, very good. So tell me, I have a question for you, and a lot of people have seen this, and there's this there's a codec that's called Apple Intermediate Codec. What is this for?
Initially, it was a way of letting people work with HDV footage before either Final Cut Pro or Final Cut Express supported HDV natively. And that's really why it was developed. It takes the HDV long GOP group of pictures footage and breaks it down into individual frames, much like we've been used to editing with DV or DVC Pro 50. There are a variety of opinions as to whether this is a good thing or a not good thing. Any codec conversion will cause a small quality loss, and of course it takes a lot of time to do the conversion. So it certainly is possible to use it, but I prefer wherever possible to work in HDV native or convert it to a more common editing codec.
So it was just basically a patch in between the, when they actually brought HDV support out then.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it. I mean, there are other people who have a different opinion. I think Brad Wright would advocate it over working in DVC Pro HD, for example, but I would work in DVC Pro HD for wider compatibility.
Yeah, definitely. So what's going on in the post-production world this week? I know there's some new cool plugins for Final Cut and stuff like that.
Yes, Digital Heaven have released a brand new piece of software called Big Time. They haven't actually got a major buyout from an IPO or anything, or a venture capital company. What Big Time is, it's a resizable floating time code display of the current time code in Final Cut Pro. Doesn't sound like a world beater, but if you need to look at the Final Cut Pro time code from across the room or to have your producer see the time code while you're working, the little tiny displays that are in Final Cut Pro can be kind of wearing on the eyes. So what Big Time does is it just creates a floating palette with a big version of the time code so that it can be seen across the room. It's just $50, and if you've got a need for that, it's a real problem solver. At the same time, they dropped the price of two of their plugins, DH Grid and DH Guides, down to what everybody's favorite price. Nothing. Those two are now free.
Now, what do those do?
Well, DH Grid, it generates a grid with up to 10 divisions. The horizontal and vertical divisions are completely independent and can be drawn over the entire frame or a custom-defined area. It's one of those utility tools that isn't very spectacular, but if you're trying to line things up on a screen, there's no align commands in Final Cut Pro, so this would help there. And DH Guides likewise display left, right, top, and bottom guides in three different styles, so you can set up guides for, 4:3 safe title within a 16:9 area, or something useful like that. There are other plugins. If you didn't get the big value package that was $10 each, they've now gone up to variable pricing somewhere between $20 and $40 each, which is probably more close to their value. But, for 2 years you've been able to get the plugins for $10 each, and so, you take advantage of a bargain when it's available or not.
Very true. Bargains are lovely.
Bargains are lovely, yes. And if you want to bargain, you could get an entire post-production suite, including modules for video and audio editing, compositing, animation, visual effects, graphics, and paint, for free.
Really? Tell us about this.
That's the Jahashka. I'm not even going to... It's Jahashka Project. And version 2.0 of this open source project has now been released. And it's a full playback compatible, a full suite of tools. Uses OpenGL acceleration, and we're going to actually be talking with the lead developer on this project on the Digital Production Buzz on our June 8th show. But it's a very powerful tool. It supports 2K and 4K playback of just about any media file to raw image sequences. And it can maintain the aspect ratio of the source, use a completely hardware-accelerated pipeline right the way through. It's a very comprehensive package, and now that it's at version 2, it's probably worth giving serious consideration for. Of course, it will lack the resources of the forums and the expertise and the training products that exist for a much more widely distributed product like Final Cut Pro, but they've had close to 500,000 downloads to date since January 2000 when they first started developing this.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so 500,000 people. And if you want a simpler tool, Stone Design have released Vidiator. It runs natively on Mac and PowerPC and Intel Macs, but what they call it is movie magic for mere mortals. And essentially what it is, it's a nice, easy front end to core image and core video so that you can apply the core image and core video effects to your own QuickTime video files. It automatically creates an interface for any core image unit. It makes it open and easy for everybody to get 9 plugins, additional 8 that are built into OS 10.4. You get mask by color, over mask, polka dots, make transparent, colorize, fun mirror. These are extra core image units that have been developed by Stone Design and are included. And it's Apple scriptable, so you can include it in a production workflow if you want, although I think it is mostly aimed at the hobbyist and home user for just $50.
Wow, that's a great deal.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked on the Digital Production Buzz show last night, we talked about how important it is to plan your production workflow. We've got all these great new sources of images. We can go tapeless, we can go to P2 cards, we can go to hard drives, we can be an optical disc. We've got HDV, we've got DVC Pro HD, we've got all of these great formats and no standard workflows anymore. So if you're working with any of these, particularly if you're working in 24p variations or anything, any workflow, test it completely from beginning to end before you commit yourself to the workflow. Because I've just had a whole bunch of clients that have not tested their workflow right the way through, and they're walled into a project and are now discovering that there are issues with transferring media from Final Cut Pro 5 under QuickTime 7, working it back into Final Cut 4.5 under Time 6.5. Issues like that, issues of converting DVD to the wrong format and scaling their fields, which mangles the fields, and they're very hard to get it right. Just test the whole thing before you get started, because if you don't test, it's going to come back and bite you on the bum, as we say in Australia.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, there's so much stuff going on now with all these different formats, and they don't like sometimes to commingle with each other.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, even 1080i, I mean, supposedly the most common format, you know, is it 1440 by 1080 or is it 1920 by 1080? Depending on which format you're working with, it could be either. Or is it a full 1080 by 1920? Nobody really knows until you test your workflow how it's going to work in your particular workflow with the software that you want to use, which mostly will be Final Cut Pro for our listeners, of course.
Sure, exactly.
And if you're into 3D, Luxology have now shipped Modo 201, which was a very modern modeling, painting, and rendering software tool, not animation yet, but it's a nice and clean new code base for 3D artists working in game development, film, visual effects, and video production.
Yeah, and tell us about, we got about 50 seconds left here, tell us about you were at the Final Cut Pro user group meeting last Wednesday here, in Hollywood. Tell us about that real quick.
A great meeting as usual. We had Ted from Red Ted on the show. It was giving an update to the camera and a whole bunch of people doing presentations on there where they showed the MXO from Matrox, the new output device and screen smoothing tool. Generally a very high quality show, and we do a DVD of that you can get from Intelligent Assistant.
Cool. More information, how do we get a hold of Philip? Listen to your program.
DigitalProductionBuzz.com.
Cool stuff. There you go. Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. Like you said, check it out, DigitalProductionBuzz.com, Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web, DigitalProductionBuzz.com. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. You can check them up at macupdate.com, a cool place to get all your software updates for your Macintosh. Check them out, macupdate.com. Right now we're here with Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks. How are we doing, Sammy?
Oh, man, Scott, it is a cool day for Mac picks. And today it's called Logitech Day. Now, we all know that Logitech makes a bunch of peripherals, a lot of them for the PC, but they've also supported the Mac for many, many years. Now, Logitech has come out with a number of different really cool mice for the Mac, and I'm a mouse nut because when I travel, Scott, I have to have a mouse for productivity purposes. I know the PowerBook has a cool trackpad, but I just have to have a mouse, and I know you use one as well. You use Apple's Bluetooth mouse.
Yep.
Now, Logitech makes a number of different mice. One of them is called the G7. Now, I think they've anticipated Apple's G processor, but they call it the G7 laser mouse. It's $99.99. It's laser precision, multiple DPI, up to, forgot if it's 200 DPI setting. You can set it right there on the mouse. You can use it on any surface. It is carbon fiber painted. It looks sweet. It looks like it belongs inside of a Porsche. It's a beautiful design. It fits well. Also, it's got a replaceable battery built inside of it. It's actually a rechargeable battery that comes with two batteries, one that's always in a dock, on a USB dock, and the other that's physically inside of the mouse, so you never run out of battery power. I think this thing is beautiful. It's a 2.4 gigahertz processor. Actually, that's what it uses as its communication device as opposed to Bluetooth, but it works extremely well. It's called the G7 mouse, G7 laser mouse from Logitech. Just check out logitech.com. The other product they make is called the S530 laser for Mac, and that's a combination of wireless mouse and keyboard. It's all white, so it will fit well with anyone's iBook, and, well, I guess it's not an iBook anymore. It's a MacBook, but it's a beautiful product. It's $99.99 as well, and that's a combination keyboard and mouse. And lastly, they've come out with a fantastic product called the Harmony 890 remote. This is the all-in-one remote to beat. It's a remote that actually uses RF signals as opposed to IR. It's $399, so it might seem steep, but once you use this remote, you will never use another like it. It will control every single AV device, and you sign up on a website using your own name, and you just put in whatever products you use. It's got a backlit color LCD screen. It's beautiful. It's called the Harmony 890. They have a number of different Harmony remotes, all the way down to a $99, very simplified remote that's an LCD display, but this is color. It does everything under the sun. Once you use a Harmony, you will never understand how you could not have used a remote like this. So it replaces 5-6 remotes that you've been using for the last 8 years or so. It's called the Harmony 890 from Logitech. Check it out today at logitech.com. And they make a number of different products as well, probably another 7 or 8 different types of mice, USB as well as Bluetooth. We'll get into that over the next month or so. They're a great company, and they continue to support the Mac, and of course, I want them to do more on the Bluetooth side, but we'll keep pushing them.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. So it's a cool remote. Sammy, how do we find out more information about what you're up to? And of course, you can go to Inside Mac Radio for your Inside Mac picks, but we have anywhere else we can send people? The Logitech website?
Logitech, just go to Logitech, Logitech.com. It lists all of their products. It tells you if it's Mac, PC, a number of different things. So check it out today.
Cool stuff. There we go, Sam Levin. Sam, thank you so much for all that great stuff. Sammy Levin and his cool Mac picks. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD?
With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show was brought to you by Popular Photography Magazine. Do you want to get all the cool reviews on the great cameras, things that work really nice and happy with iPhoto, or maybe some really high-end in-depth articles at American Photo? You can check both these guys out at Popular Photography Magazine at popphoto.com and American Photo Magazine at americanphoto.com. Right now, I want to touch on a few more news stories that have happened here in the past week or so. Atom Inks, the publisher of Tidbits, has announced two brand new ebooks that explain how fonts work in Mac OS X. So he explains on how the fonts work under Mac OS X. It has Macintosh users who have to struggle with the all the deals with fonts. Because of the release of Mac OS X that you can find now, specific practical advice on managing, using, and troubleshooting fonts. It's a 255-page book called Take Control of Fonts in Mac OS X. And then they have a 120-page companion volume, Take Control of Font Problems in Mac OS X. These are both ebooks, and one is $20 and the other one is $10. Or you can get a bundle for $25. So the whole thing in fonts is another deal that people used to have in Mac OS 9 and earlier. Is there's, you know, you have hundreds and hundreds of fonts, and how do you effectively control them? You have all these fonts installed, and let's say maybe you're using Word. It takes forever to load because it has to load all these fonts, or the preview menu. You can turn stuff on and off. There's a lot of things you should learn about fonts because, you know, it's a great design tool, but you should learn about these things. So for 25 clams for both of them is a pretty cool deal. So you can check all that stuff out at Take Control Books. That's takecontrolbooks.com. A couple other things I want to touch on here on Quark 7, actually. Actually, let's even talk about this before we even back into the Quark 7 deal, but Extenis has announced extensions for Quark 7. So now you can have their great plugin deal with from the Extenis website. Works with the Quark Express Passport 7, Quark Rest 7, PowerPC based systems, not actually workable for the Universal Binary Intel deal, but either way. And then also, let's talk about pricing on Quark 7. There's upgrade deals, there's universal binary upgrades, there's a bunch of stuff. Very interesting about this Quark deal. I think that, like we had talked earlier, people thought Quark was dead, but they've just come out with such a crazy new version has so much more new stuff in it. Let me give you some pricing here on the Quark deal if you guys are interested in upgrading. You can go to Quark, that's Quark.com for Quark, and then you can find about all the upgrades, the downloads. Let's talk about Quark 7 Express, though. We're on their store as we speak, grabbing some numbers for some cool pricing. Also, while this loads here, there's a brand new, if anybody's into race stuff, since tomorrow we'll have the Indianapolis 500. There's a brand new Indianapolis 500 podcast. So if you go to, it's called IndyCast. You go find IndyCast website or just type it into iTunes. They're going to have extensive race coverage. Pretty cool stuff there. So if you're going to be into the whole Memorial Day gig this weekend and want to learn about the Indy 500, it's the biggest auto race in the world. Pretty cool stuff there. It's the 90th running. So you can check that out at IndyCast.com. So let's look at our upgrade pricing here. If you have Quark now, this website is terribly slow. Terrible. So I'll touch back on that here later in the hour. But you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we have some more very cool guests. We have John Rockwell. We're going to be talking about Remix Hotel coming up here in New York City. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program.
Hi, thanks for calling. This is Tom. I'm not in right now. In fact, I'll be out most of the day. I need to go to the computer repair shop. My Mac crashed big time. There I was, working on the final version of the annual report, when boom, I crashed. I am so dead. No backup, no vacation, no job. Life sucks.
Hey Tom, this is Rich, your neighbor. Sorry to hear about your computer crash. Too bad you weren't using Tech Tool Pro. It could have fixed your drive and recovered your files in a few minutes. Go check it out at www.micromat.com. So anyway, I'm calling about some crazy kid that just drove his car through your side fence. There's a 67 Chevy sitting at the bottom of your pool. Take care.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by DVD XDV. Do you want to have the coolest software to pull content off a DVD and reuse it into something? QuickTime Pro, QuickTime, iMovie, you name it, you can do it. Check it out, www.dvdxdv.com. Right now, we have John Rockwell with us. John is from Mix Magazine, electronic musician and remix, and they have a very cool event coming up here very close in New York City. How you doing, Johnny?
Hi, Scott. How are you today?
Good. So tell us, we have Remix Hotel coming up here in New York City in about, a little less than a month, and there's some still deals going on. But tell us about Remix Hotel.
Well, Remix Hotel is a technology event that we do for DJs and music producers and fans and engineers and everyone. And we did one in March in Miami around the Winter Music Conference and the M3 Festival. And we're doing one again. This time again, we're in partnership with the people at M3. And we're doing one in New York June 23rd through the 25th at the SAE Institute of Technology, the music school there in Herald Square. So we're doing an event. And what we do is we get lots of the leading technology manufacturers in the music space today, including our friends at Apple, and we get them in a room, and we get a whole bunch of DJs and producers checking out the equipment. So we're hoping everyone will come down. It's a free event, and or you can sign up for a VIP pass, and we give you a T-shirt and a subscription to the magazine, and should be really good.
That is pretty cool stuff. You have these vendors that actually show up at Remix Hotel. Are they're demoing software, or they're hardware? Tell us about the whole vendor and how that all works in with Remix.
They're demoing their latest versions of the software, their equipment, everybody from Stanton to M Audio to Roland to Cakewalk to DigiDesign, all the big players in the space showing all the latest stuff. Our friends at Apple showing all of their software and hardware. So, it's the one chance that you can get right in with the people who are working on the software and who are making the equipment, and you can actually work on it and test it out and touch it and feel it and talk to your peers and learn a lot. So it's pretty cool for people who, you know, are really into this technology. And we've got this year, as well as we had in Miami in March, we've got panel discussions with producers and DJs. Some of the leading people in the space are going to be talking. We also are going to have training this time at the event, so you can learn Pro Tools LE, or you could learn some of the other software. You can use some of the equipment and actually get involved and be directly involved, get training directly from the manufacturers. So
now, John, is this training cost more? Is it part of the whole package? Is it free? How does this work?
If you get the VIP package, you can, which is $10 for the next few weeks, you go to remixhotel.com/register. And what you do is if you do the VIP package, you automatically get a chance to go to four of the class sessions during the event. And if you come to remixhotel.com/NYC, you can see the full schedule of all the sessions. So we're doing everything from, we have a master class series that we're doing in conjunction with M3, everything from, classes on downloads all the way to things about the business. Having Shockley Entertainment is doing a panel series with some of the leading producers and DJs as well. So if you pay the $10 for the VIP pass, you can get in and see. You can come to four of those classes, so those sessions. So it should be good. There's a whole series of them running the whole weekend. And we're having an after party Saturday night as well in New York City. So
really?
We want people to come to that too.
All for $10.
All for $10.
What a great deal. Now, this is going to go up here and pretty soon here, right?
Yeah, it's June 23rd to 25th, and we're registering people now, and so we're looking forward to it. I don't have the complete schedule of all the panel participants yet. As soon as we have that, we'll post it on our website. If you sign up for our e-newsletter called Remix Transmissions, you'll also see we'll have updates on everybody who's coming to the event. So it should be really good. It's going to be right on Herald Square at the SAE Institute. So real easy to get to if you know New York.
Oh, very good stuff there. Yeah. Now, tell us about this deal goes on. Now, what's this free thing? This goes on in conjunction with the Remix Hotel.
M3 is a music, multimedia music festival that is done in conjunction with us. They do it in Miami every year, and so we're just partnering with the team that does that kind of on an ongoing basis. So that, because they've got good connections, as do we, with some of the key producers and whatnot, and they can, and between the two of us, we're being able to offer some of this training and expand some of the panels that we traditionally did at our events. We're really kind of taking it to the next level, so it's an interesting group. And if you've been, as you were this year, if you saw the mass pandemonium that is the M3 conference and the Winter Music Conference and our event down in Miami, it's crazy. 10,000 DJs show up all at once in 1 week in Florida. So we're hoping to replicate some of that here in New York. So the event's also in Atlanta in August and will be in Los Angeles in November.
That is pretty cool. It was a it was a great great gig in Miami.
Yeah, it was great, except for the rain.
Yeah, well, it always rains in Miami like that.
But again, the level of just, I mean, people really, the one thing that we think people really are going to enjoy about the event and is that they can get
to the industry.
Relatively straightforward environment. They can get in there and actually work with the latest versions of software, talk to the experts, the people who actually wrote it, and work on the latest equipment and really get a chance to test out everything. So if you're a DJ and a producer, this is the place to be to find out all the latest technology in the space. So.
Right. Now, tell me about your guys' key magazines. You have Mix Magazine, mm-hmm. Electronic Musician, and of course, we're talking about Remix Hotel, right. But you have Remix Magazine.
Right. Now, right. Remix Magazine is the partner that works with our event. Remix Magazine is for urban music producers, DJs, anyone who's into electronic music. Started it a few years ago as an offshoot of our other magazines in the professional audio space. Mix Magazine is the premier magazine for professional audio people, whether you're engineers or producers or in the business side. If you or in the professional audio space, you're reading Mix Magazine. We have the Tech Awards, the Mix Tech Awards every year, which is we give an award every year to the innovators for the technology as well as the people producing music today. And Electronic Musician is for the person who has his or her own home studio and is doing is mixing and recording stuff in their own backyard. And so we have something for everyone from the home person all the way up to the highest level professional. So it's a good group of publications and very interesting Remix, especially very interesting crowd shows up at our event.
Yeah, I mean, is it all DJs or is it guys that are doing just different kinds of mix work and recording engineering?
It's
or do you
some
see
DJs? It's the music producers and mix people doing everything from the hardest techno to every other type of music, and anybody who's using technology in interesting ways and the software in interesting ways to, you know, push the envelope on the way they're creating music nowadays is doing that and finding out about a lot of technology through us. So, I mean, we like to think we're pretty much on top of that, and we tend to focus our content on the people who, the producers and the music makers and the artists who are the most cutting edge with their with what they're producing. So every month we've got a lot of interviews with them, and they talk about the equipment that they use to do what they're doing right now. So I think that's really interesting to people to find out, you know, how they're using Pro Tools LE, for example, that kind of thing.
Right. Now, what do you find user base? We've got about a minute left here, but what do you find for a user base of people? These mainly guys are still doing all the stuff on the Mac?
Yeah, we have right off the top of my head, the exact percentage. The majority of our readers, a significant portion of them clearly work on the Macintosh, have for many years. And so, you know, it's very clear to us that the penetration that the Mac has into this space, the same way that it does in graphic design and it does in video editing. So, you know, I mean, it's very obvious to us. And especially now with the Intel Macs and stuff. I know at the March event in Miami, that's what everyone was talking about.
John, thanks for joining us so much. You can find out more information at
remixhotel.com/NYC.
Cool. Thanks, buddy. That was John
then,
Rockwell. We're going to be there covering the event. Cool stuff. See you in New York City. That was the Remix Hotel, John Rockwell. Like you said, these things are way cool. Check it out.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. You can find out more information on the Inside Mac Radio Program at www.insidemacradio.com. So we had a very cool lineup of guests today. Great stuff going on here in the Mac community. Like I said, there's been some big things this week with the opening of the Apple Store in New York City. 24 hours a day, brand new gig right there on Fifth Avenue at GM Square. The launch of Quark 7, and this is something else I want to touch on here. Quark Express 7 is going on tour. So we have in Washington, D.C. on June 5th, you can go. Chicago, Illinois on June 7th. Minneapolis, Minnesota on June 13th. San Francisco on June 15th. Atlanta, Georgia on June 20th. Los Angeles on June 22nd. Dallas, Texas on June 27th. And they're going to finish up this tour in Toronto, Canada on June 29th. So you can go there. It's sponsored by Canto, Extensis, Pantone, all kinds of cool stuff. And there's it's a whole deal where you can learn all the cool stuff with new Quark X7, and it's very economically priced. Very good deal. They have a pretty big schedule. The thing goes from, there's hands-on Quark, there's different track. There's track one, there's advanced Quark 7 Express, dynamic document server using Quark DDS. They have hands-on training. It looks like it'd be a pretty good gig, so I think we're going to check this one out here in San Francisco to learn more about the whole Quark deal. You can check that out at quark.com, and then just click on the events gig and check that out. Cool stuff there. So, like I said, we had Sandy Cohen on the program earlier. Sandy is a guru in the whole design, print, publishing world with Photoshop, InDesign, Quark 7, you name it. Sandy's writing about it. She's over there at Creative Pro doing stuff, and then, of course, her book about Adobe Creative Suite CS2 from Peach Pit. You can find out more information about her. You just go to her website. She was on today. We had Andy Shallot on talking about the Mac design tip out of the box tip for the week. And this was about using Flash video and audio on your website. You don't have to embed a player. You can put the code in the background. A page will load. The video will start playing. You can't actually, the viewers won't take your video off the site. So if you want to keep something, so you can sort of think of it maybe like a little bit of a digital rights management, because you can't actually just do a save as in QuickTime. So there's some neat stuff going on with the whole Flash video and encoding stuff. So Andrew talked about that. We had Rick Littrell on from Inside Print Radio talking about how Quark 7 affects the big print market. So maybe not the small designers or guys that are doing small jobs, but big people that are doing newspapers and stuff like that. So we have the Rick's view on Quark 7. We had Andrew Darlow on from Imaging Buffet talking about the Apple Store opening and some photo stuff and some new imaging things that have been out in the market. There's some new cameras, so we talked with Andrew about that. Then in the second hour here, we had Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. And we just covered all the cool things going on. We talked about the Apple Intermediate Codec that when Brad gets back here next week, we'll go in more discussion, because I think it's an interesting thing, and I don't know if it's just for HDV, but we talked about that. Some cool new plugins for Final Cut that lets you actually see time code in the viewer window in the canvas, so you can see that. That's cool stuff there. And just a bunch of cool things with the post-production. So if you're in video, you want to check out his show at digitalproductionbuzz.com. We had Sam Levin on talking about his cool Mac picks for the week. That was actually the stuff from Logitech. Brand new cool stuff. They got some real new high-end mice. They own the Harmony Remote brand now. So they have some really cool remotes that you can program for one remote. We'll do everything in the house. Some great LCD displays on them. Pretty neat stuff there. And we talked about Remix Hotel, New York City. We had John Rockwell on from Mix Magazine, electronic musician and remix. And it's a really cool event coming up here in New York City, the weekend of June 23rd. So we're going to be there covering the event, checking out all the cool music stuff. They had an event in Miami that rocked. We were there. It's amazing. Very cool stuff. Apple's there showing off all the cool new stuff, Logic, all the new hardware. Very cool. And I think the sponsors of the Inside Mac show, we had Micromat, DVD XDV, MCE Technologies, and our media partners of Popular Photography Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Printing for Less, Mac Update, and of course the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges. You can find out more information about the Inside Mac radio program at www.insidemacradio.com, and of course our video stuff at insidemactv.com. I've been your host, Scott Shepard. We'll be back next week with more great stuff about your Mac.